Hi, this is Duncan Young, a.k.a. We're in Dinyago, and you're listening to the one and only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 65 at the only Neverwinter Nights podcast. And I am your host, Skunkeen, a.k.a. Skunkaroo Banzai. And
this is Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda. So what's been going on, man?
A lot of stuff. Mostly with Neverwinter Nights 1. There's still tons of things happening with Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yeah, I agree.
But Neverwinter Nights 1 had the final patch for release, the 1.69, and BioWare is saying that this is going to be the final patch. No.
I can't believe that.
No, I can't either. But there's still so many community things going on and happening.
Oh, yeah. About to say, I think they will be saying maybe farewell to it, but the community will not be saying farewell to it for a long time.
Yeah. Probably about another decade.
But so what was it? I mean, the patch has been out for a couple of weeks now, right?
Yes. But they're just now finally posting up on their website that this is definitely going to be the final patch. And they even created a new wallpaper called Erebeth's Farewell. And she just kind of like stuck her sword in the ground and she's walking away from it, looking at
that. Yeah, it even says on there, it says, a special farewell to all the fans that truly made Neverwinter Nights the game of endless adventures. Can they say endless if they're calling quits on it?
No. Well, I don't know. Not really. I mean, it's still an ongoing game. They could try to run from it all they can't want. You know, they're not going to be able to escape Neverwinter Nights. They have marked their place in history with Neverwinter Nights. I saw a list recently, like top 100 games in the history of gaming, and this had like games like Pac-Man and whatnot in there, and it had like Neverwinter Nights listed at like number 50. So.
Oh yeah, just the other day I was reading up on the Microsoft Gaming Studio, which is a development environment that Microsoft put out, and their description is to be able to create games like, and it lists a game, and Neverwinter Nights is the second one in the list, if they give list as their examples.
Yeah.
They picked 5 games to put in that list, and Neverwinter Nights was the second one. So it's had a huge impact upon the gaming industry.
Well, BioWare itself has. They ended up also releasing a thing where they commented about 10 years of Baldur's Gate, and they ended up getting all the old folks that worked on that together and posted up their comments about, you know, about their visions during the development of that, you know. So, really, it's really not a good point for, you know, the community to give an encore to BioWare, because the community's still here, you know. We know that you've got working on some newer games to amaze us, but, you know, the community's going to still be active with Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2.
So what else has been going on? Kind of get on for the sad note. Let's get over something fun.
Something fun, like the community creature content, community creature package that we were talking about.
Right, yeah.
All right, folks. I don't know if you're too familiar with the community creature pack. All right. One, this is an awesome hack pack to add into your modules. Now, you know, since we ain't getting too many more patches, the future of Neverwinter Nights 1 is going to be community content. All right, I guarantee you. Yeah, but sadly, the CCP, they removed a creature from their hack pack, which was really quite detailed. You know, it was a giant. It was a female giant, a naked, fat female giant, and she looked good, I thought.
So what you were talking about earlier sounded like the quality of the creature was just a little too good?
Well, yeah, but there's still tons of role-playing aspects that you could do with a big female giant.
I can just imagine. I've got tons of scenarios running in my head that I can't really say any of them, or we'd have to change the rating on our podcast to explicit.
But if we ever have a game night at a social server, I'd gladly run it, role-play it out for everybody.
That'd be cool. Well, speaking of running sessions, and I'm going to segue that into talking about DMs, we got a message from Carlo One over at the DMFI that they are about to release the 1st of August. Well, I'll just read what he sent to us. He said, I wanted to let you know that the DMFI is looking to have the DM 101 for Neverwinter Nights 2, which, if you guys remember, I think it was I can't remember if that module was Hall of Fame or not, but it should be the DM 101, so you want to be a Dungeon Master tutorial package. They've redone that for Neverwinter Nights 2, and they hope to have that up on the vault around August the 1st. So they'll do the same thing for Neverwinter Nights 2 that the original DMFI 101 did for Neverwinter Nights. So they also hope to have a companion adventure module called A Stop Along the Way released around that same time to add to the DM-friendly module list. So, Carlo, thanks for sending us that info, and we hope to hear more on the updates when that gets released.
And I believe with the Neverwinter Nights 2, the next upcoming patch, they ended up releasing some comments in the forums. I'm pretty positive on it. I've seen this, where they're talking about addressing a lot more multiplayer issues, and they said some DM client stuff, too. So
good.
They're expecting some newer stuff, so you know, might end up having to do some updates to the module, but unlikely because things look really solid with the DMFI tools for Neverwinter Nights 2. I love the scale thing. That's something you can't not do in Neverwinter Nights 1 is scale things to make things bigger or smaller. Make your own female giants with that thing. Howie, the Neverwinter Nights vault had a contest, and we were judges at it. It was for the Neverwinter Nights Vault Outfitters.
Now, this is an ongoing contest, right? I mean, it's going to have, like, more than one set of winners out of it. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Now, we've talked about it in the past, though.
So. Yeah, they're going to have a winner once every month. And congratulations to Smorpheus for his entry for Halbrick's Weeping Widow. It was an awesome battle axe. We ended up checking out in-game. So congrats to you for winning. And you'll be looking forward to receiving a game code for Mysteries of Westgate when it comes out.
Hurry up, guys. I'm sounding the toll for the community. We want our hands on that game.
Yeah, I'm going to be ready for it. I'm halfway through Mask of Betrayer right now. I already completed the OC. So
cool.
I'm needing that.
So just something we add to that on the Vault Outfitters, that the podcast team, like you said, has been reviewing this first one and is going to be reviewing some more of those, and we'll be having our own events, private events, where we'll go in and evaluate this stuff, but we are going to record some audio and commentary from those, and we will be probably making some of that available in the show that about the winner. So look forward to that. You'll get to hear some of the stuff we went through trying to decide who's best. It's kind of the inside look at, you know, the what's the name of that show? I'm going blank for a second here. I don't know who's going to be Paula Abdul or who's going to be
American Idol, like Neverland Idol.
No, but I'm sure there'll be one of us that's always going to be the pessimistic person. Nah, I hated it.
Well, one of the biggest things that I loved about the Halbrex's Weeping Widow axe is the story, you know. Myself being a dungeon master, you know, I really get into stories, and it had an awesome story, and the stats for the axe was humble and just seemed to really touch a note to everybody. So, congrats again, Smorpheus.
Yep. So we got any game events coming up that we know of?
Got a full one for this Thursday, as you know.
Right.
We're going to end up working out some new ones. I guess a few people were having problems or not enough interest in playing Pirates of the Sword Coast with us. So going to be scheduling a different adventure sometime for Sunday afternoon to have a GMT-friendly game time with everybody.
So got a crazy idea here. I know we've had some performance issues in the past, and we had a poll up on the site, but we pulled that down thinking it was part of our problems, but it wasn't. What if we picked a handful of modules and put it up and let the listeners decide what's going to be in the next public game event?
Yeah.
So we'll come up with a handful of modules, and we'll put the poll back up, and you guys come to our site and start voting, and we'll use those votes to determine what module is going to be up.
And that would really work quite well, because some of the multiplayer modules for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, some of them don't have a limit on how many players to have in-game.
Yeah. And we'll pick some from Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. I think we ought to mix them up.
Yeah. And it won't be too hard for me to get some of my Dungeon Master friends from Neverwinter Connections to join us on the DM client and keep things exciting for everybody wherever they're at.
That'd be cool. Game. That would be awesome. Okay, so that's what we'll do. We'll set that up, and we'll get a time frame on when we want to have that event, and we'll close that poll up, and whoever has the most votes, that's the module we'll go with, and we'll set a date. That sounds like cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be exciting. Oh, we have an interview coming up.
Sure do.
Yep, this is going to be, Lisa's been hyped about this because she loves the Dark Avengers series by Warren DeJargo.
You can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been telling everybody that this is pretty much the most awesome series, and she's really enjoyed it, and this interview is going to be quite a treat to everybody. So I hope you enjoy.
Today we have Duncan Young, a.k.a. Wyron, author of the Hall of Fame Dark Avenger 1 and recently released Chapter 2. Along with these two well-known works, Wyron has demonstrated his talent with some prefab areas and small mini modules. Thank you for coming today, Wyron. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm not sure I'd call it talent with the prefabs, but never mind.
Well, in my opinion, if you can get into the tool set and do anything with it, I consider it a talent. I'm just a really devoted player.
Oh, we definitely need more of them, so, that's good.
Would you like to share a little bit about yourself, work, hobbies, etc.?
Sure. I've got a doctorate in biochemistry, and with that I work for the UK government medical research. It's kind of the equivalent of the NIH over in the US. And what we try and do is commercialize any new inventions coming out of the government-funded research. So that's the day job. In terms of hobbies, I enjoy reading a lot, particularly zombie fiction, actually. I'm quite a big fan of survival horror and the thought of people thrown into situations where they're just basically trying to survive. So I enjoy quite a few of those. Big fan of anime, Japanese animation, films, especially westerns, and of course D&D. I used to run a play-by forum, and I'm currently in a pen and paper group as well.
And, wow, busy guy.
Within all of that, I managed to try and find time on the tool set too.
When did you become interested in modding?
I guess I've always been kind of interested in designing computer games when I was a kid. I think we had a game back on the old BBC B Micro, and I learned to program in BASIC a little there, and just fiddling around with ideas. But in terms of Neverwinter Nights, well, I sort of briefly played with the Neverwinter Nights 1 tool set. Looking back, I'm not really sure why I didn't pursue it further at the time. I guess I was at uni and things were a little busy. But what I used it for was mainly to try and some ideas I was having in a campaign I was running at the time online. I tried to create a few of the scenes and the sites that I was using just to share with people. But then I had a bit of time off work ill. I think last year now, and I sort of used that to really get into the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set. I'd played some of the modules out there, and I thought, hang on a minute, this looks like it could be fun. So, that's kind of how I got started. I think the two modules that really stood out for me right sort of in the early days were Avondale and Phoenix's Tale of the Asperdes.
Yes, I've played both of those.
Yeah.
What
so
a surprise,
think,
huh?
Yeah. So I think playing those, you know, it kind of, you start sparking your own ideas off that, and you think, well, maybe if I open it up, have a look at how they do things, and give it a go myself.
What about the Neverwinter Nights 2 community appealed to you?
I think, sort of, as a player initially, reading some of the blogs was a good way into it. I mean, Burliad was quite active at the start, and Ernie too, Ernie Noah. And yeah, like I said, kind of enjoying playing some of the modules out there and seeing the responses on the vault. And then kind of thinking, well, maybe I could try and be a bit more involved and have a go myself.
Great. We can use more modders and players.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think it's been great recently. I think looking at the blog role on my own blog, then I think I've added 10 or so in the past couple of months. So it seems to be buzzing a bit in terms of the builders out there.
Yeah, it more seems just this current year has really picked up a lot.
Yeah, I think it seems to go in waves a little bit. I don't know, like with holidays coming up and things quieting down a bit, but there's definitely a few really, really interesting projects I'm keeping an eye on. But more than I can, you know, find time to keep an eye on, I think.
I have a blog roll process. Unfortunately, I've been a little lazy about it because I've been so busy with other things. But I usually, every few days, have them all bookmarked and I go in sequence and go read them all. What type of process do you go through when developing a module?
Well, it's more sort of stumbling in blindly into the toolset, I think. But I try and sketch things out, but I tend to find that I sit there staring at a blank bit of paper too long. What I have for each, I mean, at least with Dark Avenger, each chapter I've kind of got core areas sketched out and core scenes plotted and, you know, sort of vague bits of dialogue, the key messages I need to get across. I've got those written down.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but as for how people get from scene to scene and the encounters they have on the way and any sort of bits of dialogue chipping in from the companions, then that's, I kind of leave to the spur of the moment while I'm doing an area. I try and do one area at a time and each encounter within it. So I know the flow within that area and just whatever inspiration takes me at the time. And also you get a feel for what should be said at that kind of time while you're doing an area.
You already answered the question I was about to interject. Great.
Okay.
Although we're focusing on the Dark Avenger series today, would you like to talk a bit about your other Vault submissions?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it seems a long time since I worked on some of them. I had a bit of time off work. It must have been around February, March time last year. And that's when I thought, right, I want to have a go at the tool set. So what I did is I took an old pen and paper module, Palace of the Silver Princess, and I had a go at converting that, sort of taking the basic dungeon layout and going sort of room by room, encounter by encounter, and converting that on the toolset. So that's how Palace of the Silver Princess came about. It's a classic old style D&D module that I'd played in pen and paper. God knows how many times. So I know where all the secret doors and stuff are and where all the hidden bits are off by heart. But it's also, I think, for new builders, it's quite good to pick something like that because you know, each room in the dungeon is keyed. So you go to dungeon room number one, and you know you have to put X number of orcs in it. You have to put this number of tables and chairs in it as decoration. A few of them broken. So I think it's quite, for a new builder coming in, that at least gives you some sort of framework to have a go at building it around, which was quite handy for me. After that, there was What's Bugging Costin, which I think I briefly mentioned that I ran a play-by forum, and I had a go at converting some of the scenes and side quests from that into the tool set, and that's how that came about. So that was just me playing and still learning the tool set in the early days. That's a quest about visiting a village called Costin on a big lake where a few people have gone missing and trying to find out why. It's just a small sort of quest. Probably takes about 30 minutes to complete altogether. But it's, as I said, it was a chance to feel my way around the tool set a bit. I think after that there was A Walk in the Woods. Oh yeah, of course, the module contest.
Yeah.
Which I had a quick go at. The topic was fairy tales, so I kind of did a Disney take on those.
It was the Grimm Adventures.
Yeah. So I sort of did a Disney take on those with a Disney stroke Shrek take on them. I think with Thumbelina and Tom Thumb as your companions and going around various different quests and helping different characters from the fairy tales. So that was quite good fun. Then Dark Avenger kind of came about as a sort of idea that I had in the background whilst I was working on those, and that's pretty much what I've been working on since. Apart from this weekend, actually, where I've had another idea in the back of my head it's one of those ideas that won't quite go away, and I think I need to at least try and put it to bed.
It's like a calling.
I'm not sure you'd call it that. I think it's a moment of insanity. Don't listen to the voices talking in your head. But it's one of those things that it keeps cropping up, and I think, okay, let's see where it goes. So I'm playing with that at the moment.
Is this something that you're deciding to do after Dark Avenger, or is it for part three?
No, this is something completely separate. I'm hoping that it won't take too long to do. The basic idea is it's called the Elemental Plane of Rats. So it's one area, and you go in and speak to a lovely old woman who's running an inn and tells you that she's got rats in the cellar. And you go and kill rats. So I know that sounds like amazingly novel and inventive, but I hope I've got a sort of weird twist on it at least.
Yeah, there isn't a module out there or a Neverwinter Nights game period that you don't have a cellar full of rats somewhere.
Yeah, this is kind of taking it to the extreme. So the cellar is actually the elemental plane of rats, where rats just keep appearing nonstop. And I'm kind of turning it into a sort of survival desktop defense kind of thing, where each rat's different. It's got a different points value, and you get to rest every time you level up and that kind of thing. So,
okay, without giving spoilers, would you like to give our listeners a short summary of the Dark Avenger series?
Yeah, well, I guess a bit of background. The idea came about with through listening to the song Dark Avenger by Manowar. I'm a sort of a big closet metalhead, especially sort of power metal.
I like it too, that's okay.
Well, the days of my long hair have long gone, I'm afraid, but it's more sort of suits and shirts and ties at the moment, so I have to sort of rebel some way, I think. Yeah, one of the songs, Dark Avenger, has got a sequence in it where there's the actor Orson Welles is narrating a scene, and he's talking about somebody who was killed and is returning from the dead for revenge. And it's something that I just mentally, a few times when I'm listening to songs, I sort of picture how I would put that together in a cutscene for Neverwinter Nights. And I think that's how the intro to Dark Avenger 1 came about. And with that basic premise of somebody coming back for revenge, finding out exactly why they were killed and why they need to get their revenge. The story kind of grew from there, and ideas about, you know, the trying to let the character shape the story around himself, so the PC can choose certain reasons why they can look for revenge, you know, why this happened to them, how they treated people in their past. The idea kind of evolved from that point, but the focus is definitely on the story, and the companions are key. So in terms of your interaction with them and their interaction with the plot as well.
I will have to say that the companion that comes back with you from hell or wherever it is you come back from, I want to kill him. Which means you did an excellent job with writing, because I'll tell you, I just sometimes just want to kick him.
Well, that's what's been great. I think having players that have sort of commented, and there's such a strong reaction to the characters, I mean, that's what I was after. That means if I've managed to try and bring them to life a bit, then that's brilliant.
Well, you did accomplish that, definitely.
There was one player who, Syke, the dwarf, initially I had him in mind as a potential romance option. But the overwhelming feedback was that female players didn't really like him at all.
I will have to agree.
And one player said she even went into the tool set and wrote additional dialogue for the player to be able to tell Syke how much they hated him and how much they wanted nothing to do with it. So, I mean, I love the fact that people have sort of got that strong reaction to the characters in it.
I'm playing this, this Goody Tissues elf ranger, and all of a sudden this dwarf has got the hots for her. I was like, ew, I'll think so.
Yeah, and I kind of felt that, I mean, all too often the romance options are sort of humans and elves, but, you know, when you're dealing in a fantasy setting, that maybe you can be a bit more, you know, lax on the rules a bit.
At least it's better than a half-orc.
True. And at least there's polymorph spells around, so you never know what will happen.
I like the conscious decisions that you have to make. They are very well done. The dialogue has fabulous options, and it caters. It seems to cater to so many different alignments and play styles. And I just wanted to say very well done on that one. I enjoyed it immensely. And your part two, wow. You really raised the bar for part three, and I'm very excited to play it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. In sort of part one was very much sort of dialogue heavy. It's actually quite short in a lot of ways. It takes quite a while to write the dialogue in the tool set, but when you're playing, it doesn't take long to go through that.
This is true.
So you get more bang for your buck by putting in more combat, I think. But chapter two is quite a different tone, and I was worried that I'd lost some of the impact of the story by having more of the combat in there.
No, you did fabulous.
But I think that, I mean, I definitely try, and you know, the companions are there around you, so I don't like the thought of going into a cutscene without them at least chipping in their thoughts, or even some of them getting you into trouble by the things they say. So I think it's definitely trying to account for the companions and bring them to life in that.
Well, I was going to ask you how you came up with the Dark Avengers series, but since we've already answered that, I will move down to the next one. How many chapters will there be for this series?
On paper, there are 5 chapters planned.
You are an ambitious modder.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. it's funny, when I look back at the original notes I had on this, it must have been about 15 months ago now, each chapter had about 5 areas. Mm-hmm. So, and look, I think chapter 1 was probably 12 areas, chapter 2 was 22. Things can balloon so easily, and you get this dreaded scope creep in the tool set. Just a vague idea all of a sudden means you need 2-3 new areas, new content, new dialogue adding in. So I am kind of conscious of the fact that there's still a lot to do. It might be that chapter 4 and 5 get rolled into one.
Try to keep your scope scaled to your original plan.
Yeah. It's harder to keep things going when you've got such a long building process. And there seem to be a few builders at the moment talking about burnout, and it's good to try and keep things fresh. That's partly why I'm working on this other crazy idea at the moment as well. Chapter 3 is going to be sort of quite big city-based, more dialogue-type quests in it. Chapters 4 and 5 might err towards the big combat for the conclusion. The final conclusion on the plains.
So the epic battle.
Yeah. The big showdown. And you might get your wish regarding one of the companions.
We'll see. If not, maybe I'll have to have somebody go into the tool set and say, let me kill him.
Exactly, yeah.
What are the most difficult challenges with building a module from beginning to end have you faced?
I think finding the time and finding a partner who's happy to let you give up the time, I think they're quite key. Somebody who doesn't mind you sitting on the tool set or sort of staring at a flat, open exterior area while you're desperately trying to work out how the hell you're going to turn that into a luscious forest. I think that's key. So it's taken a lot of planning for me to try and allocate time, dedicate time to it. And also to keep the ideas fresh. And one of the things I was kind of worried about was maybe people would get fed up of certain companions saying the same things over. It's like, is Black Death going to be trying to kill every NPC that we meet? That kind of thing. So trying to keep the ideas and the writing fresh and finding time to slot it all in. I think they've been the biggest challenges. One other thing. I mean, because chapter 2 wasn't released that long ago. One of the toughest things I find is when you finally release something out there and you've got more than a handful of people playing it for the first time, that all the niggling bugs that creep up and things that work fine on your machine and just seem to go haywire on other people's machines. That's just, that drives me crazy.
It seems to be a popular consensus between modders, not being able to recreate a bug. Therefore, it's impossible to fix.
I had one thing recently, which people were getting crashes loading an area and I just couldn't replicate it at all. I was yo-yoing in the game between two areas about 15 times and it didn't crash. And luckily, Amraphael, who's building is on the Zork project, he managed to pin it down to one of the trees in the area, which for some reason was causing some people problems.
So, that's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Exactly. It could have been any number of things. So, and I was really grateful to him for his
help. I was fortunate. I didn't have any bugs.
I'm amazed and relieved.
I don't know. I really didn't have any bugs, but there have been several modules that I've played where I haven't had any bugs and other people have had just a monumental amount of them. And I was like, well, wonder why they're having all these bugs. But I do know that it's contingent on system settings and different types of computers and everything else. So maybe I'm just so completely basic with my setup of my computer that it doesn't have all the bug issues.
It could be the smallest thing throwing something out. You never know.
And I did learn that override folders and files and stuff don't like each other.
Yeah, that tends to be a default response when somebody comes up with a problem is, have you got anything in your override?
Yes. Which,
you need to sort of post up in big letters on the vault somewhere. But, there are other little things that you think, they come back to you and you think, how on earth have I missed that bug? How on earth have I not come across that? So, yeah, there are also the other things that come up and slap you in the face a bit.
Okay, what are your favorite areas of creating a module?
Um, I think it would have to be coming up with an NPC or a companion concept and trying to translate that on the toolset, trying to get that personality across. So that's partly in terms of defining what classes they have, exactly what build they've got, how they look, but also then how their dialogue sounds, how they can chip in, how they fit into the plot. I mean, that I quite enjoy. So, I've got each of the companions have a certain place in my heart. I think I can run to. There's a mini Black Death lurking deep in the my heart somewhere, scarily enough. But there's also a mini Briars and all the others.
Yeah, I would have to say that you definitely put diverse and very individual personality between each character. I found them all interesting. Even the dwarf, even though, he wanted to have a love interest with my character, I found him to be quite interesting. My character didn't think he was all that cute. But,
nice.
I was sitting there, I was actually laughing to myself, and I was like, oh, she must have had a drunken moment. It's like last call at the pub. No.
Yeah, when short men with beards turn into clean cut elves. Yeah, mead goggles, I guess it is called.
So, do you have any tips for new modders out there who are about to embark or challenge the toolset?
Don't set your sights too high at first, I think is key. And as I mentioned earlier, I really do recommend taking an existing pen and paper module and just picking either a small section of that and sticking to that using that as your design document, basically, to try and translate that. Then once you've learned from that, you learn the basics of how the toolset works, then you can sort of go ahead and try and expand it out a bit.
When you become a expert debugger. I did an interview with Adam Miller, and he said that he thinks that most of his modding is debugging.
Yeah, well, I think there's definitely getting something out there on the vault is probably only 70% of the process, but then keeping it running and dealing with everything else that crops up is the other 30%, yeah.
Do you have any last comments today?
I just wanted to say... we've got, like I mentioned earlier, we've got quite a buzzing community at the moment. There's some really, really interesting projects out there. I'm keeping an eye on Dirty Wick's Subtlety of Thay. That was one of my favourite modules from the last year. And when I saw I was up against Subtlety of Thay and Harpen Chrysanthemum for the Golden Dragon, that was difficult, man, because... Those two are amazing bits of work, and definitely my favorite two modules out there.
I do agree. Dirty Wick has really evolved since first Subtlety of Thay, and I think anybody who's going to play that is going to be blown away, just like with your second part of the series. And it's almost like you can just watch you guys evolve and understand more and put more heart into it is amazing, because I played Dark Avengers series, the first one, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I played the second one, and I was like, oh my gosh, did he go to, he is just rose above, and it just keeps getting better. So keep up the great work, and I'm sure everybody out there who downloads and plays it enjoys it also.
Thank you. I mean, with part two, I mean, one of the big issues with part one was my area design. And so that's something I've tried to address in part two. I think that's it, though. It's being able to focus on the story when you're designing these mods. You're almost like a film director in some ways, because you've got this story there, but you need to frame your shots right, get the backdrop there, but also have the characters within the story to bring it to life. So there's a budding writer deep within me somewhere, but this is a great way of trying to satisfy that part of me too.
Yeah, the science guy who is a closet headbanger.
Yeah. All the people that share a train with me on the way into work in the morning need to be scared, I think.
But do you have the iPod and the head going, or?
Normally the foot tapping. And,
you see.
Keep the head still.
Duncan, I would like to thank you for coming today and doing this interview. I know with a time zone thing, it's fun to schedule. And
well, thank you for filling me in, and also for the whole team. Great job you guys do as well.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your talent. I appreciate your time. And I appreciate the hours of fun that you give me when I download your modules. So everybody who plays, go in and check out Dark Avenger. I recommend you start from one and go all the way through two because, well, maybe not everybody's obsessive as I am. But go in there and comment, let him know how he did, and encourage him to get chapter three out.
Yeah, that sounds great.
He was met at the gate of Hades by the guardian of the lost souls, the keeper of the unavenged. And he did say to him, "Retchi not pass, Abaddon. Return to the world from whence he came, and seek payment, not only for thine own."
All right, so we hope everybody enjoyed the Dark Avenger series interview that Michelle put together for you.
Yes. You know what? Before we go, folks, since you're still listening, Neverwinter Connection still needs help with some devoted people, much like yourself. We're planning the Neverwinter Connections Convention 4 upcoming here soon in September. What this is an online convention, a 3-day convention online of you're having awesome dungeon masters, you're having players, and you're having awesome showcases of community content done by pretty much with the greatest talents that we have in the community. We have CEP doing a showcase, going to be showing some stuff for us, some tips and tricks that they have for the latest expansion pack that they've created. And we have some contests. We're hoping to get a prize coordinator to end up collecting prizes and helping, collect donations for our event. And that's what I'm asking you community people for. If one of y'all would gladly step up and visit us in our forums over there at neverwinterconnections.com and see if you're willing to either help, or if you have a Neverwinter Nights 2 talent, like dungeon mastering, or you're a custom content creator and you have something to show off, please let us know in the forum. It's not just only dungeon mastering and events. We want to see, some awesome things that you have made that we could include into our adventures. So pay us a visit and see what you could do to contribute and be, part of our great, awesome community at neverwinterconnections.com. But we got a new website link URL for direct to the con page. So it's www.nwcon4.info. INFO.
Looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a blast. And I know that, I don't know if we have committed to doing anything for that convention, but I definitely think we should if we haven't already.
Yeah. AstraCon signed us up for doing some commentary during it.
Great. Yeah, I want to be part of that too. So, also, before we go, just kind of a little bit of a side update. I know that we've been experiencing some slowdowns on the website in the last week or so. We think we've got that figured out and fixed, so the site should be a little bit speedier right now. We are still experiencing an issue with our forums. If you're using Internet Explorer, after a recent upgrade to our site, the Internet Explorer doesn't seem to play nicely with posting replies. Firefox, on the other hand, works great. So if you're having trouble getting into the forums and posting stuff, flip over to Firefox and you should be just fine. I'm currently working with the developer that created our forums, and we're trying to come to a solution for our Internet Explorer users. But right now, we haven't come up with anything.
Oh, and folks, don't forget you could purchase yourself a Neverwinter Nights podcast t-shirt by going to our Cafe Press store. The link's on our front page, or clicking the t-shirt link on our main page. So, and please donate. Give to us. Send me your money.
Well, thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next week where we're going to have some mystery interview because we're got some things in works right now, but we're not really sure which one's going to be up on the blocks for next week. So go on, check back and find out.
Now, folks, I wasn't kidding about the donate. Donate. If I see you in game, I'll kill you.
I'm not going to click the donate button now.
All right, folks, until next week.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
This is Tracker B, aka Shy, calling you from Israel, and I enjoy very much Neverwinter podcast, the only podcast I will ever hear. Tracker B. The only podcast. Tracker B. Neverwinter Podcast. The only podcast. The only podcast I will ever hear.